Hey, super friends, this is Elena, and I'm here to say, no, I'm only joking. I'm not going to bust out a rap song like your Tio Pepe from Sunland Park. But what I am going to do is tell you about another way to support us and the show. Every week, we broadcast a new episode. 52 is the amount of episodes that we released last year. The number of bonus episodes that we released was 1. Many more could have been recorded. For only $2 a month, that's just 6 cents a day, you can receive our episodes a week early and ad-free. Join online and Tio Pepe will personally send you a welcome kit with your free stickers. Your donation says, we are here to help you. Please log on right now at patreon.com/technicallyaconversation.
Edgar Cayce, the sleeping prophet, was known for putting himself in a sleep-like trance to access the universal consciousness and give readings, made predictions, and cured those that were ill. He claimed to have acquired his special gift after being visited by a winged woman while reading the Bible in the forest. Despite his great powers, he wasn't able to predict or heal one of the most important people in his life. Today, we'll discuss the events that led to Edgar Cayce becoming one of the country's most renowned prophets, some of his most well-known predictions and healings, and some of the predictions he got way wrong on this episode of Technically a Conversation. You're listening to Technically a Conversation, a podcast where we share an interesting topic or story with each other and hope you find it interesting as well. I'm one half of your host, Jose, and I'm joined today by my lovely co-host, Isela. How are you doing today?
Doing fabulous. How are you?
Doing great. Sadly, no Taylor Swift conspiracy theories to report today. I was actually kind of busy and I didn't really have a chance to look for any. Did you come to the table with any Taylor Swift conspiracy theories?
I don't think that's in my algorithm, and I actually kind of prefer it that way.
We gotta do it for the transcripts, girl.
That's true.
So that way they come up in the transcripts and I'm like, wow, these guys talked about Taylor Swift like 6 times in their episode.
All the time. Yeah, they must love her.
Yeah, I gotta check it out.
Yeah. I'm on to you now.
Well, since we don't have any Taylor Swift news to report today, enough fucking around, Isela.
Oh, okay.
Ready to get started?
I am always ready.
Great. Let's get started. The following is from a Belief.net article by Wesley Baines. Wesley Baines. A Daily Telegraph article by Maria Donnelly. A Straight Dope article by David Weinberg. A Skeptic Dictionary article by Dr. Robert T. Carroll. And then Answers with Joe video by Joe Scott. Links in the show notes.
That's a lot of research right there.
It was, yeah.
I'm like, whoa, damn.
I thought this was going to be a quick 4-page script. It ended up being over 7 pages, so.
Well, if you stop reading, I'm pretty sure it would be 4 pages. Just kidding.
In 1887, 10-year-old Edgar Cayce was the worst kid in school. After being visited twice by a winged woman, he was told that he could be helped if he allowed himself to fall asleep. He laid his head on his school book, went to sleep, and awoke knowing all the answers. By 1892, Cayce was the best student in school. Cayce discovered he could put himself in a sleep-like trance to access the universal consciousness and was able to cure his own laryngitis and back injury.
What?
As his powers grew, he was able to help others in the same manner and gave thousands of readings, prescribing cures, revealing past lives, telling the future, and giving advice from beyond the material world. He used his great powers in search of hidden treasures and assisted in the Lindbergh kidnapping case. He also made predictions about New York, Russia, China, the lost city of Atlantis, the second coming of Christ, and Armageddon. Was Cayce a real-life clairvoyant, or were his abilities less than supernatural? Now, before we examine this question, are you familiar with Edgar Cayce, Isela?
I am not. This is definitely piquing my interest. It sounds dubious, but I'm willing to hear him out.
Dubious. Everything checks out so far, I think.
Of course, yes.
I detect nothing suspicious at all.
Yeah. All this math checks out for sure. It can tap into the universe's consciousness.
Yes, but at the same time, I was also blindsided by Jolly being the serial killer of the last episode, so who knows?
Yeah, that should say something.
Well, I'm glad you haven't heard about Edgar Cayce, because I have a great story for you.
Great.
Sadly, I won't have any Midnight Shyamalan twists for you in this one, though.
That's okay.
So let me preface all this by saying that much of what we know of Cayce's early life is from the book Story of Edgar Cayce, There Is a River, written by historian Dr. Thomas Shugru. Most sources seem to recount the same stories from that book, as he was largely unknown prior to that book coming out. Critics of the book state that the claims Cayce made were largely unchallenged by Shugru, and we really only have Casey's word to go by on a lot of this information. So, just throwing that out there.
Okay.
Edgar Cayce was born on March 18th, 1877, to farmers Carrie and Leslie B. Cayce in Christian County, Kentucky. As a young child, he was described as being unusual and often played with imaginary friends and witnessed the appearance of his dead grandfather. At the age of 10, he was taken to church for the first time and became interested in the Bible and read it a dozen times by the time that he was 12. Hueva.
Yeah.
How many times had you read the Bible by the time you were 12, Isela?
Maybe 0.5. I hate to say it, sorry.
When Cayce was 11, he was reading the Bible in the forest, you know, as 11-year-olds do.
Sure.
And was visited by a woman with wings who asked him what he wanted most. Cayce responded that he wanted to be a missionary and help others, especially sick children. Pretty noble, right?
That's honorable.
Yeah, I don't think I would be thinking of that as an 11-year-old.
For sure.
I think I would have said like PlayStation 2 or something.
Yeah, is that because we didn't read the Bible?
Maybe.
Anyway, go ahead.
The following night, Cayce was struck by his father after receiving a complaint about his performance in school and was knocked out of his chair.
Boy.
Yeah. The voice of the winged woman told him that he would be helped if he would allow himself to fall asleep, which I think is like the contrary advice that you normally get when you get struck in the head, right?
Yeah, you're going to die, right? I think with a concussion.
Yeah.
Scary.
So he laid his head down on his schoolbook and went to sleep. When he woke up, he knew everything in the book and could recite it from memory.
Wow. He like plugged into the matrix.
It certainly sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
Damn, and all I got when my dad beat the shit out of me was deep psychological trauma, distrust in authority figures, and a revolt against all the conservative ideology and belief that my father holds so dear.
Yeah, that's all. You're like us now.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
So Cayce began obtaining information from all his school books by sleeping on them. And by 1892, around the time that he was 15, he was the best student in his school.
Wow.
Cayce's ability to diagnose illnesses occurred shortly after that when he received a back injury after being hit by a ball at school. While he slept, he recited the cure, which his family applied as he slept, healing him.
Hmm.
When Cayce was 21 years old, he began losing his voice, and reportedly, doctors weren't able to help him. He lost his voice for about a year until he visited New York hypnotist Al Lane. While under hypnosis, he claims that the loss of his voice was psychological paralysis and stated that increasing blood flow to his voice box would cure him. The hypnotist told Cayce to do this, and his chest and throat became infused with blood and turned bright red. When he awoke, he was cured. The hypnotist suggested that Cayce offer his services to the public, but Cayce was reluctant as he didn't want to prescribe medicinal cures that he couldn't remember, as he would forget everything he would say while asleep the moment he would wake up.
Hmm.
Despite this reluctance, Cayce pulled through and agreed and started to become known for his cures, attracting people from all over the country. He even prescribed cures via the mail.
What? Okay.
So what do you think? Sounds like a stand-up guy, right?
That just sounds so weird. I don't know. And the sad thing is, when people are sick, they can be easily manipulated. They'll believe anything. I'm starting to feel bad for everybody who wrote into him or whatever. But anyway.
Maybe when I go over some of his track record, maybe it'll change your mind.
Yeah, I hope to be surprised. Yes.
I'm sure you will be.
Okay.
In 1903, Casey married Gertrude Evans. Around this time, he started becoming concerned about the morality of his cures and began working as a photographer. Casey and Gertrude had three children, Hugh in 1907, Milton in 1911, although he only lived 2 months.
Oh.
Yeah, that was sad. And Edgar in 1918. Gertrude, Hugh, and Edgar all supported Casey's clairvoyance work, which he returned to after Milton's death. At this point, he began asking for donations to support his family. He also invented a card game called Pit, which was based on commodities trading to supplement his income.
Oh, wow.
So based on what I got from that, all the other cures and everything that he did without charging. It wasn't until after Milton's death that he actually started asking for donations.
I think if he was such a clairvoyant and knew how to cure all these ailments, sadly, you have to wonder why he didn't help cure his two-month-old son or whatever it was.
Well, keep in mind that he didn't start doing this again until after he died. So maybe he just wasn't tuned into
the universe
force. Yeah.
The force. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool.
I think what he called it was the universal consciousness. Who knows? I mean, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt, I think.
Sure. Yeah. He took a little break.
Yeah.
Timed it.
Yeah. Poor timing to take a break, but.
Yes, exactly.
No, and I'll actually come back to that. I think that's very important.
Okay, great.
In 1923, Glady Davis, Casey's secretary, began recording Casey's readings in shorthand. Casey also met Arthur Lammers in 1923, a wealthy man interested in metaphysics. He asked Casey's sleeping form about reincarnation and astrology, and Casey apparently confirmed the existence of past lives and reincarnation and validated the field of astrology. Both subjects were popular during Casey's time, but incompatible with Casey's strong Christian beliefs.
Oh, got it.
When Casey awakened from his slumber, he was shocked to learn of what he discussed and began questioning the source of whatever he channeled in his sleeping state. Eventually, Casey incorporated these new ideas into his Christian worldview and laid the foundation of the modern New Age movement.
Hmm.
In 1924, Casey met New York stockbrokers Morton and Edwin Blumenthal. Using Casey's dream analysis, the Blumenthals made large sums of money short-selling stock. So now we know Casey's origin story. Let's talk about his relationship with the Blumenthals, his move to Virginia, and some of his most well-known predictions after this quick commercial break.
Hi, I'm Abby, and this is Alan.
Hello.
We're from the Lunatics Radio Hour podcast, where we explore the history of horror and modern horror storytelling.
We do deep dives into legends like ghost trains, or the Headless Horseman, or Wendigos.
Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Including cell phones and computers.
Join us on the Unseen Paranormal Podcast as we dive into the history, hauntings, and high strangeness of the world to try to better understand the paranormal. I will be your guide. I am paranormal researcher and investigator Eric Freeman Sims. Tune in to the Unseen Paranormal Podcast for new episodes every Wednesday as we welcome authors, historians, researchers, investigators, and various other guests to explore our unseen world and the unexplainable. All current and past episodes are available anywhere you get your music or podcasts. And remember, some of the scariest things are unseen.
Hello, and welcome to Myth Monsters. I'm Erin, a self-confessed mythology addict and occasionally scholar. Myth Monsters focuses on the monsters of global folklore and mythology, with sometimes a cryptid thrown in once or twice. We go from looking at jackalopes to gorgons to wendigos to Bigfoot, from dwarves to elves, and honestly, everything in between. Why should I listen to this podcast over any other mythology podcast out there? Well, we're only 15 to 20 minutes long, so we're perfect in time for your little commute. And also, we focus on a different culture and monster every single week, a real in-depth look into modern media, where they're found in films, TV, video games, and books, and also the origin, description, and if I believe they existed. so it's perfect for any short trips or if you're into any specific monsters that you fancy. So come join the fun every Thursday and stay spooky, babes.
And we're back.
We're back.
Did you cure any illnesses during your sleep, Isela?
I need to find out where I can tap into this universal consciousness. Do I plug in? Is it a USB? What is it?
It's USB-C, actually.
Okay. We're all moving to USB-C now.
Yeah. So I think if you're Apple, you're out of luck. But as long as you have USB-C, I think you're good.
Good to know. Phew. There's hope for me.
There is. What about becoming wealthy short selling stock?
No, but I did buy a copy of the card game Pit.
Yeah, did they actually sell it?
Turns out it's the Pits. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. No. Bad joke.
You know, I was reading a little bit about that, and some sources were saying that I think the company that he tried selling it to, they ended up kind of stealing it from him or something, so he didn't get any royalties.
Oh, man, this guy.
But there were others that were saying that that really did help to supplement his income. So I wasn't sure what the truth was, so I kind of left it out.
That is intriguing. Okay.
Pit game aside, what are your thoughts so far on Edgar Cayce?
So a large part of me would love to think it's true because it seems like he had the grades to back it up. However, even like the beginning things that you were talking about when he was like, he had witnessed when his dead grandfather appeared. So it sounded like the appearance of the dead grandfather is a fact. Which already sounds crazy. And he was just one of the witnesses. Like, what? Wait, okay, great that he was a witness, but what are you talking about? So clearly, I guess what that was meant to show was like he had some kind of weird special power or whatever, like a third eye or something. But yeah, I am hoping that it would be real because how cool would that be? I want to believe that there's like mutant powers out there. You know, I don't know.
Well, we're going to start getting into some of the predictions really soon. So you will be the judge.
Yay.
Some of these I was very shocked about.
Oh, okay.
So now we know Cayce's villain origin story. Thanos has found all the Infinity Stones. Now let's find out what he does with them. In 1925, Cayce heard a voice in one of his trances that told him to move to Virginia Beach, Virginia. So he moved to Virginia Beach, Virginia, as one does when the voices in your head tell you to do something.
Wouldn't you love to like find out that the wife was just waiting for him to like fall into some trance and she's like, we gotta move to the beach. That'd be so great.
Yeah, she was like implanting subliminal messages into his sleeping or whatever.
Right? She's like, you could just call me Universal Consciousness. Thank you very much.
Morton Blumenthal bought Cayce a house, opened up a hospital in 1927, and beachfront Atlantic University in 1930. At this point, the Blumenthals were investing $8,000 a month in the hospital and university.
That's a lot.
It is. Even for 1930s money, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't have a chance to check out the inflation calculator, but I mean, $8,000 is a lot now, so you can only imagine how much it was back then.
Yeah.
The Blumenthals withdrew their financial support in February of 1931. Their relationship had begun to sour with Cayce after the 1929 stock market crash. Even though Cayce had warned the Blumenthals about the crash and were able to retain $1 million of their wealth.
Oh.
In June of 1931, Cayce, his sons, and 61 other people formed the Association for Research and Enlightenment, or ARE, and launched a monthly bulletin with readings and health hints for its 300 members. In 1935, Cayce was convicted in Detroit for practicing medicine without a license, but was released on probation. In 1935, he also predicted a little something called World War II, 4 years before the U.S. entered the war. He even predicted that Austria, Germany, and Japan would be involved.
Wow.
In 1939, Cayce made the following prediction. Quote, ye are to have turmoils. Ye are to have strife between capital and labor. Ye are to have a division in thy own land before ye have the second of the presidents that will not live through his office. A mob rule. This quote, according to Cayce's supporters, predicted Franklin Roosevelt's death in April of 1945 and John F. Kennedy's assassination in November of 1963, as neither president lived through their office. The 2016 U.S. election indicated the division between capital and labor.
I think that's very common even for other countries. There's always that division of like capital and labor. I mean, even when we were talking about it in the Bob Marley episode, that was, you know, there was like a people's movement and there's like the people with the money type of thing. That seems to be the trend.
I'm sorry, Sala. That's something that's unique only to the U.S. And the U.S. is the only country that has two presidents that die while they're in the middle of their office.
That part, sure. I'm sure there's assassination elsewhere. Anyway, carry on.
All right. Some other hits here. He predicted the finding of the Dead Sea Scrolls, communication mergers, and using blood to diagnose diseases. Although I don't have a date or year on when exactly he predicted those. Again, sounds like the real deal to me.
Yeah, I mean, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Wow, that's really cool.
Looks like we might have a real clairvoyant here after all, right? What are your thoughts?
Possibly. I would love to see how he worded it. I think most of these charlatans that are trying to be hailed as clairvoyant usually will say things very vaguely, and then we are the ones who kind of like insert it in. It's like, don't come at me, people, because I know there's so many of y'all that really believe in astrology, but I feel like when you read your horoscope, it's so like vague and whatever, and then everyone's like, oh yeah, this totally fit me today or whatever. It's just so vague.
I'm delightfully impressed by you, Isela, because I feel like I'm usually the one that brings in the skepticism whenever fantastical claims are made.
Yeah.
Very impressed, Isela.
This is true. Or we've just been hanging out too much.
Yeah, some of my my bad personality traits are rubbing off on you. My cynicism.
No, that's not true.
So most of Casey's predictions had to do with health, and he is considered the father of modern holistic medicine. He was a huge proponent of locally grown and seasonal foods and what we now call the Mediterranean diet. In his readings, he also recommended that people get outside more, exercise more, drink more water, eat more vegetables, and learn to relax. So that all sounds like pretty sound advice, right?
Okay, yeah. I just take back everything I said. I really love this man.
Yeah. And again, this is in the 1930s when most people didn't believe that. So
yeah, this is true.
Many supporters claim that there is no way that he could know all of this if he didn't actually possess any special powers. Skeptics are quick to point out that he was a voracious reader and through his hospital and university, aligned himself with a lot of doctors and intellectuals. His closest friends were medical doctors. The first 9 years that he gave readings, he was accompanied by Al Lane, who was a medical doctor and hypnotist. And if you remember, Lane was the same hypnotist that Casey used when he had lost his voice for over a year.
All right.
Lane was also one of the people that encouraged Casey to do readings for others to try and cure them. And some of Lane's patients became Casey's first readings. Towards the end of his life, Casey began to increase the number of readings that he gave, and they were leaving him drained and fatigued, which if you think he did his readings while he was asleep, you would think that he would be very rested after him, but
he'd be like recharged. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is odd.
When he did a reading about his health, he stated that he should limit his readings to 2 per day or he would die.
Oh, Jesus. That got serious real quick. Okay.
In August of 1944, Casey fainted. When he did a reading to find a cure for his extreme fatigue, he said that he was to rest until he was well or he died. He and his wife vacationed in the Virginia Mountains. After predicting that he would be buried on January 5th, 1945, Casey suffered a stroke and died on January 3rd, 1945, at the age of 67.
Wow. And did he get buried the 5th then? That would be super wild. He thought he was going to be buried on the 5th.
I could not find any information on that, but that's still pretty close to when he died, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Wow. That's really wild. It's almost like, okay, bear with me. Did you know about how Matthew McConaughey's dad also was clairvoyant in the sense that he knew how he was going to die?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey's dad always told his kids, including Matthew, that he was going to go out, how do I say this delicately, making love to their mom. And he did.
Oh, wow.
That's how he died. Yeah.
So after he made love with his mom, he bit on the cyanide pill that was in his mouth and started foaming.
Exactly. Yeah. That's always sexy finish. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you remember, Isela, when you and I first met, one of my goals was to live to be 34 because I wanted to outlive Jesus. So my prediction didn't come true. I've lived far, far longer than that.
Yeah, you're definitely not plugged into the universe.
No, I am not part of the universal consciousness, apparently.
Yeah. Yes, you're not.
They'll never come to me for any advice.
Also, how weird and sad. I would not want to know when I'm going to die.
Yeah. I think that I would become fixated on it. Even if it wasn't true, like if somebody were to tell you, you're going to die on October 7th, 1940. Like that would be all I would be thinking about, even if it wasn't true.
I'd be counting down. Oh my God, I only have this much time. Yeah. And heaven forbid, I fucking waste all my money thinking that's it. I'm not going to live past there. And I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, that would really suck. Now, in the 40 years of him giving readings, it is said that he gave somewhere between 14,000 and 30,000 readings, which are kept under the protection of the ARE. Although a DVD-ROM with his readings was at one time sold by the ARE for the low, low price of just $119.
Wow.
But it appears to be currently unavailable. They do have literally hundreds of other Edgar Cayce paraphernalia available to order if you are interested.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
And that is the life of Edgar Cayce and his predictions, or at least the ones that were accurate, if I'm being very generous.
Yeah, it's very compelling because it does sound like he got a few things right. But if he made up to 16,000 readings, and I know that they were just kind of guesstimating there, I would love to know how many of those he got right as well. You know what I mean?
Funny that you were to mention that, Isela.
Oh, look at that. Fast finger Freddy over here.
And just when I was about to start thanking our patrons.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember, but at the beginning of the episode, I enchanted and delighted you with the promises of Cayce's predictions on hidden treasures, the Lindbergh kidnapping case, predictions about New York, Russia, China, the lost city of Atlantis, the second coming of Christ, and Armageddon.
Right.
Well, these you won't usually find on websites from Cayce supporters, as supporters tend to remember the hits and forget the misses.
Ah, yes.
But luckily, we have the Skeptic's Dictionary, The Straight Dope, and a book by Cayce's sons, Hugh and Edgar, to help us remember some of those pesky misses. So let's talk briefly about them, since they are the most interesting of his predictions.
Let's hear it.
I was going to do a one more thing, kind of pull the Steve Jobs. But no, you came upon it just naturally curious, because I would have thought the same thing too.
Yeah, we are like perfect. This was a perfect segue for you.
Yep. So as you alluded to earlier, Isela, as with most psychic claims, most of his predictions were very vague. So they're very easy to misinterpret or to mold and shape based on your beliefs and biases. The second, Cayce made thousands upon thousands of predictions, so he was bound to get some right by accident. The old adage about a broken clock being right twice a day definitely holds true here. And again, people remember the hits. Everyone remembers Jump from Van Halen. No one remembers Learning to See. Now, another important thing to keep in mind is that Cayce often had information on the people that he was performing readings for, as well as their medical histories, because they would tell him in the letters that they sent to him. All the documentation that we have, as well as all the transcripts that are held by ARE, only tell us what Cayce said. So we have no indication if they really helped anyone. But the truth is that many people did consider themselves cured by Cayce. So that's enough for true believers. And the fact that thousands weren't cured don't deter them.
Yeah. The placebo effect is real.
Yeah. And in fact, Shugru, who wrote the story of Edgar Cayce, claimed that Cayce cured him from a disabling illness, so maybe he was a little biased in his book. He also claimed that Cayce cured his son's blindness and his wife Gertrude's tuberculosis, not the medical doctors who were also treating them.
Oh, wow.
All right, so let's talk about the big predictions. The source of a lot of this information is from the book, The Outer Limits of Edgar Cayce's Power by Edgar and Hugh Cayce, Cayce's sons. On April 9th, 1931, Casey gave a reading that treasure worth more than $1 million was buried by the pirate Blackbeard in White Hill, Virginia.
Oh.
He went out there with a well-known dowser, and after several weeks of looking, found nothing. Some of the excuses he gave for not finding it was that the ghosts of Native Americans and pirates were playing tricks with the psychic energy, or that the treasure had at one time been buried there, but it was dug up, or maybe it would be buried there at some future date.
Oh, got it.
So, you know, this is not an exact science, so maybe the treasure just hasn't been buried there.
Right.
Even though it was Blackbeard that apparently buried it.
Yes.
Casey predicted that in 1958, the U.S. would discover an Atlantean death ray. Casey claimed that the Atlanteans had a great crystal known as a Tuwoi stone that was used to gather and focus energy, allowing the Atlanteans to do all kinds of fantastic things. But they were greedy and tuned the crystal too high, whatever that means, causing the frequency to set off volcanic disturbances that led to the destruction of their ancient world. Some Casey supporters claimed the death ray was found, but it's hidden away with the aliens in Area 52 due to it being too dangerous. Casey also predicted that Atlantis would rise again. I suppose that's hidden in Area 52 as well.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, where better to hide it than some place that nobody ever gets to go to? Sure.
Yeah. That does sound like something the government would do. Friends of the Lindbergh family requested a reading to help find the kidnapped Lindbergh baby. Casey claimed that several people were involved in the child's disappearance. Locations were given to where the child was over a 26-day period, but even with that information, they were not able to locate the child alive. Casey claims that because the readings were requested by friends of the family and not the family itself might have affected the readings.
Interesting. Yeah, that I would imagine everybody was also looking for this baby. I mean, they had deep pockets too, you know?
Yeah. And sadly, the baby's body was found on accident.
Oh, sad.
Yeah, it was very sad. During the 1930s, Casey predicted that North America would experience existential chaos. New York was mentioned numerous times. In April of 1932, Casey predicted, quote, "All over the country, we will find many physical changes of a minor or greater degree. The greater change, as we will find in America, will be the North Atlantic seaboard. Watch New York." In January of 1936, Casey stated, "In the next few years, lands will appear in the Atlantic as well as in the Pacific, and what is the coastline of many an island will be the bed of the ocean. Los Angeles, San Francisco will be among those that will be destroyed before New York even. Portions of the now East Coast of New York, or New York itself, will be in the main disappear. This will be another generation, though here, while the southern portions of Carolina, Georgia, these will disappear. This will be much sooner." So I think it's safe to say that this didn't happen.
Right.
Although supporters claim that the problem with predictions is getting the timing right. So maybe it possibly could still happen.
Look, rising sea levels, I get it. That's going to be, the coasts are going to be the first ones to be hit. I get it. But sure, that's, I don't know. That's way out in the future, maybe. And although I guess they say like the polar ice caps are like melting. There's like a funny joke that says it's they're no longer the ice caps. It's like a polar yarmulke.
Yeah, I think they said within the next 10 years, they should be melted.
Jeez Louise. That's...
Mission accomplished, guys. Great job.
Jesus, come on, people. We can do this. We can do this.
According to a 1944 prediction by Casey, by 1968, China would be the cradle of Christianity. Would you like to take a guess what percentage of the population of China are Christians?
Sure. Let's say, what do they have? But it's China? No, I'm going to go with like at least 80%.
80% is Christian?
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-mm.
I don't know what they have.
Lower.
Oh, okay. 40%?
Lower.
Highway, 10%.
Lower.
2%. We're going to go with 2.
Very close. 2.53% of the over 1 billion people in China are Christian.
What's the primary religion out there?
primarily it's folk religion. So it's like folk religion that's, I guess, localized to their area.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to find that too, but predominantly it's folk religion.
Okay.
At least according to a cursory Google search.
Yeah.
Casey also predicted that, quote, from Russia comes the hope of the world, not in respect to what is sometimes termed communism or Bolshevism, but freedom, that each man will live for his fellow man. So maybe Casey should ask the Ukraine how that's going, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He did not predict that part, I guess.
Casey predicted the second coming of Christ would occur in 1998. I think most of us remember that not happening, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I think everybody was more afraid of Y2K.
Speaking of Y2K, I also don't remember Armageddon taking place in 1999. Do you remember that one?
No. I mean, I do remember, but yeah, everyone was gripped. What's going to happen? All our cars are, all our clocks are going to destroy. Like, I don't know what they thought. Everything would be destroyed. I mean, people really stocked up.
Yeah. Well, that was another one of Casey's predictions. But I'm thinking that maybe he was referring to the 1998 blockbuster Michael Bay movie, Armageddon.
I'm sure that's what he was thinking.
Now, Casey did state that a prophecy is never given for any other purpose than as a warning. For this reason, a successful prophecy is one that has been averted and therefore does not happen. That sounds like a huge cop-out to me.
A huge success, if it was a success, yeah.
Well, if it didn't happen, it's because the prophecy was success. It was averted.
Yeah, I like how he spun it for for his success.
Yeah, he should have run for Congress.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good at that spin game for sure.
Yeah. A lot of the thousands of readings that he made were for people that were already dead. They were alive when they wrote to him, but by the time that he responded, many had already long since died.
Oh.
Critics state that he should have been able to see that and not wasted his time with those that were already dead and responded to those that were still alive instead.
I see that. Yeah. Like, why respond? You should have felt like the energy's gone or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You should have felt a huge disturbance in the force.
In the force. Exactly. The energy has left the universe, the universal consciousness.
Exactly. Perhaps the most tragic event Casey was not able to predict, as you alluded to earlier, Isana, and possibly the most important person to him that he was not able to cure, was his own 2-month-old son, Milton.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a badly timed vacation for tuning out the universe. That was sad.
Indeed. On that high note, we hope that you... I'm kidding.
You're not going to talk. I'm like, no, you got to thank our Patreons at least.
No, I'm kidding. So how do you feel about Casey? You heard the successes, you heard the hits, mm-hmm. you heard yep. Jump, you heard Hot for Teachers. And then you heard whatever he did with Sharon from Extreme.
yeah.
So what are your thoughts? Was he our greatest prophet or a charlatan who somehow managed to accidentally get a few of his over 14,000 predictions right?
Over 14,000 predictions. I would agree that some of them have to be correct. You can't take that many shots in the dark without hitting the bullseye a couple of times, you know?
Yeah, even Trump was right, I think, twice during his presidency.
No, I don't even remember those two times, but yeah, just kidding. I'm all mean. But I will say I have heard of these people that have some kind of ability to like look at someone and then they're like, oh, you have sciatica. And they're like, oh shit, how did you know? Like I have seen, I only saw where these kids had that and they didn't know what they had. And they were like, for some reason, I see this part of you glowing. And then they're like, oh yeah, how did you know that? So that part totally fucking freaked me out. So maybe, because I don't know how that stuff works, but I do think it's noble that if he did have that particular gift and he wanted to share it and say like, hey, I think if you just concentrated on having more vitamin C or whatever, your scurvy would go away. Whatever they scurvy. Had back then, you know? Then I think that's great and noble that he did want to try to do that for free.
Yeah, but I think more of the medical knowledge that he had was just because all his friends are doctors.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even with me, if all my friends are basketball players, even though I'm not a huge fan of basketball, I'm sure that after a few years, I'll know everything there is to know about basketball because that's all they're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And again, 14,000 predictions, he was bound to get some right. You know, nobody can make that many predictions and get them all wrong.
Yeah, you can't be that stupid.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Anything else you wanted to add?
No, it was cool to learn about him, especially because it was so long ago. Yeah, it was cool. It was a cool story.
Yeah, and he's made many, many more predictions. That's just the
tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to give you guys an idea of his predictions, some of the hits and some of the misses. Special shout out to our super homie, super friends, Sophia, Natasha, Eric, Angie, and Eli. If you want to be super cool and help support the show, get the episodes a week early and ad-free. Get your name shouted out on the show and get some stickers from us a few times a year. Check us out at patreon.com/technicallyaconversation or check the show notes. Best of all, it's only $2 a month, baby.
Yeah.
You can't even buy cigarettes or a CD-ROM of Casey's predictions for that.
A CD-ROM? Who's got a CD player?
True, right? I don't even think my computer has a CD-ROM.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, I did want to give a special shout out to our patron, Eric, who sent us a bottle of whiskey from Journeyman Distillery after hearing the great Pappy Van Winkle Bourbon Heist episode.
Yes.
Looking forward to trying it. Hopefully, all three of us can try it together. We can record a little video so our patrons can laugh at us.
Thank you so much. I thought that was so thoughtful, and how great for us to all connect on something that he's probably had many times, and now we get to have it.
Yeah. And I'm getting together with my whiskey club on the 23rd. So hopefully we can try it before then, because I will be taking that one when I meet up with
the whiskey club.
Yeah.
Okay.
On that high note, we hope that you enjoyed the show and you join us again next week. If you're enjoying the show, leave us a review, tell a friend, and subscribe wherever fine podcasts are sold. Follow us on the socials at GreetingsTAC. Email us at greetingstac@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 915-317-6669. If you have a story of a prediction or psychic reading that came true to share with us.
We all know someone's got an abuelita that predicted something. Let's hear it, y'all.
Yeah. I'm still waiting to hear about somebody that murdered their family from the last episode.
No. We don't want to hear those. No. We will, our numbers will go down by me.